Accession number 18727, Reel 1.
Okay, this is Owen Butcher, take 1. Owen, could you just tell me when you were born, please?
18th of September, 1925.
And where were you born, please, Owen?
I was born in Witham, Essex.
Okay. And did you go to school in Witham, Owen?
Yes, I went to the local church school and then to what was called the senior school then.
Yeah. And what was the senior school? Was that like a comprehensive school today, was it?
That's right, yeah. Much the same.
And what did you do at school? Were you a scholar at all, do you think?
Average. I had one or two favourite subjects like arithmetic, and woodwork and what have you, gardening.
Okay. And what about your mum and dad and the rest of your family? Did you have other family, Owen?
Yeah, I've got, now I've got like five brothers besides me and one sister. But in those days, there was about four of us in those days up until the war, you know.
Yeah.
And I carried on at the school until, I should have left when I was 14, but I left when I was 13 because my birthday came after they went back after the summer holiday, so I wasn't 14 when I left. I just didn't go back anymore.
Right. Well, what did you do when you were you left school at 13, so what did you do?
Well, it was only a few months before but it was in between terms, see, my birthday, so I didn't go, otherwise I'd have had to go on until the Christmas.
Right.
So in that time, there was a local radio shop where he used to do the old accumulators for the radios in those days.
Oh, I remember those huge things.
That's right. And I used to help out down there. And then, while I was 14, I went and got a job on the milk round with the local co-op.
Right.
And after about a year, I left there. Right, and decided it was time I went down Colchester and gave them a look down the recruiting office.
Right, yeah. But just prior to that, I mean, what was your mum and dad doing at that stage?
My father, he was in the TA at the outbreak of war.
Oh, was he?
But he also worked at Crittles, the window company in Witham. He'd worked there a long time. And he was recalled to Crittles because of the nature of the work, because they started munitions there, and he's called out the TA. But he actually got called up at the outbreak of war with the TA. Been down Colchester and locally, like, you know, and then he was recalled to the factory because that said on his actual discharge paper he was urgently needed for civil employment.
Oh, right.
You know.
Because I think at that stage, in wartime anyway, they had sort of protected sort of jobs, didn't they, whereby
that's
you
right.
In those sort of jobs.
In that
forces.
Type of shop. And they were turning out shells down there, down with them. Worked then at that time.
Did your mum work, Owen?
Only in the canteen at Crittles, like, you know, later on, because in the early days she had the family, like, you know, small kids to look after, you know.
Yeah. So as far as a background, an army background is concerned, your father was in the TA.
That's right, yeah.
What about beyond that? Your grandfather, your grandparents? Anyone?
Yeah, my grandfather was in the First World War and you know, he's in the Army Service Corps, I think, you know, at that particular time. I also had me, because I'm the second eldest in the family, and my eldest brother was in the Marines, you know. And but I was the second one to go, like, you know.
Wow. Your oldest brother was in the Marines, you said?
Yeah.
Wartime?
Wartime, yeah. Mm. Yeah. He volunteered before me, you know, he's about 14 months older than me. So he was, I don't know whether he was 18 at the time when he went or just below, like, you know.
What about any other interests at that stage prior to joining up and, you know, at the age of 12, 13, sports or anything like that? I mean,
there was nothing much going at that particular time. I mean, like most kids then, we done paper rounds, you know, before we went to school, and you know, run about over the fields like we used to then, which they don't do now.
Yeah.
And there was nothing else. There was nothing like swimming pools or nothing like that. You know, no leisure centres or what have you.
And Witten, what sort of community was Witten then? I mean, now it's a quite big build
quite
up,
big.
Built up.
That was only about that was only about 5,000 then, which was nothing, you know. But now I think they're up to about 25,000-30,000 now. Because later on in years after the war, the London Overspill came to Witten, like.
And what was it like? Mainly a farming community around.
Yeah, it was all the villagers, like, you know. And the children used to come in from the villages too, the Witham schools, like, you know.
So what did your mum and dad have any plans for you when you left school as to what you would
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Money was tight anyhow. There wasn't much money about, you know. I mean, when I come out of school, I used to call in the old grandmothers just to have a piece of bread and jam, like, you know, that was that time. So
yeah.
That's how it was.
Yeah, so really, I mean, I suppose your mum and dad may have wanted you to get into some work after school. So
yeah, that's right, to help out. I mean, the actual wage was nothing. I mean, I used to go, when I first got this job down the radio shop there, I used to go down there and I used to get 6 shillings a week. That was old money, you know.
So the radio shop, this was when, how old would you have been then?
Well, just before I was 14, like, you know.
After you left school, that was your first sort of job?
First type of job, yeah. Unfortunately, that shop don't exist anymore, like, you know.
So then what happened? So after being in that radio shop,
I went on this co-op milk round, like, you know.
Really?
Yeah. And after about a year, just over a year, I don't know. I thought, I don't know, I'm going to join up, I think.
Oh, right.
But when when the war broke out, and, you know, September the 3rd, like, you know, I stood at the station at that particular time and saw the reservists going on the train to Witham, like, from Witham, like, you know, and several who local people, because that was a time of day when everybody knew everybody, like, you know. And I saw the reservists being going, like, you know, and the territorials were moving out and whatever. And anyhow, I decided to make a move.
So it was always in your mind at an early age?
I thought about it, yeah. So I went down Colchester one Wednesday afternoon, because it used to be a half a day then, Wednesday. I went down to the recruiting office down Culver Street. And there was another fellow went with me. He lived in the rope. He's older than me. He's about a couple of years older than me. So he was legit, like, you know.
What is your birth date? Did I ask for your birth date?
Birth date?
Mm.
Yeah, 18th to the 9th.
1925. Yeah.
Yeah. So we goes marching in there. So my mate, he said to me, he said, what are you going in? So I said, I've thought about going in the Norfolks. So he said, well, I think I'll go in them as well.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So we goes in there, like, you know, and take all the particulars, like, you know, ask your date of birth. And he says, asking for your birth certificate. Well, I had my birth certificate in my pocket. I'd removed that from the sideboard drawer before I went, and I had it in my pocket, so I thought, well, if Mother's going to find out, like, she ain't going to find out with the birth certificate, because I've got it. But they didn't ask for it down Colchester, because I was pretty tall, you know.
Yeah.
And anyhow, we were sworn in down there, and I think they gave us a half a crown, and they even told us when we were going, like, you know, and which was only about a week or 10 days, so I had to make hurried plans. And I went to see the manager at the co-op on Thursday and told him I'd joined the army. Of course, he very near exploded, like, you know. And I thought he was going to blow the whistle before I actually went, because I'd only got a few days. So anyhow, I hurriedly packed my things, and then my mate and I went together from Wimbledon Station.
So how old were you then?
About 15 and a half.
Then. And how old should you have been?
Well, I put my birthday up over 2 years, see, you know.
So you should have been, to join the army, you should have been...
Should have been 18, see.
Right. But you said you were quite tall then, I mean...
Yeah, I was. I've always been fairly tall, you know, fairly tall.
You're now, you're looking to me, you're 5'10", 5'11",
or something. That's right, yeah. I mean, that photo over there, I mean, that was taken when I was about 16. That was in the... That was about my first leave after joining the Norfolks, like. You know.
Yeah, that's an army photograph on Owen's mantelpiece that he's pointing to.
Yeah.
Owen as a young man.
That's right, yeah.
So you and this friend found yourself in the Norfolks.
In the Norfolks, we proceeded to Norwich, like, you know. Went to Nelson Barracks then, and then up to Britannia Barracks, where we done a bit of training up there, various
so
things.
How old was he? Was he younger than he should have been?
He was only just, he was just under 18, like, you know.
So you both cheated to get in?
Yeah, both cheated, like, you know. Yeah. But when I eventually got to the Norfolks, I found several fellas in there who were underage, I knew, you know.
This was around 1941?
Yeah, 1941, yeah.
When in 41, I mean, you joined up?
April.
April of 41.
Yeah, April 41. Yeah.
Can you remember when Dunkirk was at 41?
Well, Dunkirk was 40, wasn't it?
40.
40, yeah.
So did that have any effect on the reason for you joining up? That this
no, I don't. No.
Didn't?
No. Of course, down Norwich then, there was a lot of Dunkirk survivors down there.
Yeah.
Because the Norfolk Regiment, see, you know, and a lot of the old boys in the Britannia Barracks, you know, were Dunkirk veterans, like, you know. Mm. And I mean, even our sergeants who were the instructors, like, they were the same. You know.
Yeah. So that first day that you find yourself in the Norfolks then, so then you get kitted out or something, do you?
That's right, we got kitted out down there, you know, with everything which too big, like, you know, like you do. Everything had this horrible white stuff on, you know, anti-gas stuff, you know, which was smelt more like chlorine business. And so you had these big white patches of this stuff on your battle dress, like, you know. Some parts would have it on the trousers or some on the tunic, like, you know. And it was, the more you used it or the more you pressed it, that came out eventually, but that was a horrible smell.
Was it supposed to come out?
Yeah, eventually, like, you know, but it was a long process of coming out. You could all smell this type of thing, you know, especially if the uniform got damp, you know.
Well, was the uniform very thick and heavy?
Oh, it was, yeah. Yeah, it was, yeah, very thick. On the other hand, you might get a thick pair of trousers and then a thinner tunic, like, you know. Of course, there was no neckties in that time of the type of day, like, you know, and I think the tunic went right up to the neck, you know, buttoned right up to the neck.
So you went into with this friend of yours. Did he stay with you during your training period?
He stayed until I went... Later on, after a training period down there, we moved from Britannia Barracks and we went to what was the 70th Battalion of the Norfolks, which was a young soldiers' battalion. And they were stationed in the area of Wansford, near Peterborough. And it was training just the same, although we was in tents up there, you know, and we spent the winter in these under canvas up there.
Mm.
And then... We used to go out from there guarding airfields in the Anglia region, like, you know.
But can we just go back a bit there, Owen, about your training, basically, because, I mean, what did that consist of and how did that work?
Well, there was field training and drill training and, I mean, we hadn't handled a rifle before or nothing like that, or a Bren gun, and then there was, you know, stripping the Bren gun and all this business.
Because... Yeah. The regiment that went to the Norfolks, they were, what sort of regiment were they?
Oh, it's an infantry regiment, like, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the first, there was the 1st and 2nd battalions. The 1st battalion was in the UK, like, you know, and the 2nd battalion was out in India, later Burma. But there was 3 battalions went to Singapore for the 4th, 5th and 6th, and, of course, we all know what happened in Singapore. And,
yeah.
But, you know, that... they were taken prisoner. Three battalions.
Yeah, I mean, just for the benefit of the tape, Owen, would you just tell us there what happened in Singapore with the Norfolks?
Well, I don't really know, because, I mean, you didn't know what was going on then. You didn't hear anything what was going on. But I did hear what later went on with the 2nd Battalion in Burma, because my brother's wife's... Well, that was like my brother's wife's brother. He was in the 2nd Battalion in the Norfolks, and he was killed at Kohima, like, you know. I learned a bit through that way about the 2nd Battalion in the Norfolks.
Yeah.
But that was only in later years, like, you know, after 1944.
So the training that you had with the Norfolks, and the weapon training, etc., and so on.
Yeah.
What happened? I mean, they just taught you how to shoot guns and so on and so forth.
That's right, rifles, grenades, and what have you. And there was a training area outside of the barracks, which is called Mouse Hold, a large wooded area, and, you know, where we used to go training up there. But there was another factor down, well, we was down Norwich. It was that Norwich was getting bombed quite regular. And there was parts of Norwich that had, you know, bombed very bad. And we was called out numerous times down there to help the local fire brigade down there, you know, with putting out fires and whatever. There used to be parties go out, you know. And this happened quite regularly then down Norwich, 1941.
Yeah. The training that you had with weapons, with rifles, and with Bren guns, were you a good shot or something, Owen? Do you
well, only average, like, you know, I suppose. Average. I wasn't a bad shot, but I was a pretty good shot, you know, pretty good shot.
Because I'm to jump forward a bit, because I happen to know that you, in later on in your career, army career, you finished up and spent a lot of time as a sniper.
That's right, yeah, as a sniper.
So I wondered how that early training may have affected what was to become your future in the army.
Yeah, possibly did, because as I spent longer, and after I got to the East Lancs, like, you know, army, and it just materialised from there, got better. So I suppose I was as good a shot as anybody in the company, you know, in the company.
But at that stage, you didn't excel in your shooting
ability? No, I was just average, you know.
So what was your eventual job role in the Norfolks?
Well, I just went to one of the rifle companies and done these, you know, exercises up there and drill up with the 70th Norfolks, and that was just a normal infantryman, you know. But say it was a 70th Battalion, that was called a Young Soldiers Battalion.
And how long did that last, though, in that training?
Well, the actual training, I think, was about 2 months down at Norwich before we went to the 70th Battalion. And well, we was at the 70th Battalion. That just went on all the time, all this training, because eventually, I mean, you was going to leave the 70th Battalion and you was going to a regular battalion, either the 1st, 2nd Norfolks or whatever, or if the opportunity came, to transfer to another regiment.
So after the training, you went to the 70th Battalion.
70th Battalion.
Where were they based, though?
Those based at Wansford near Peterborough.
Got it.
Yeah, only a little village, right. You know.
And you were there for how long, any ideas?
No, I can't tell you exactly, Bob. All through one winter, I know, because I say, I mean, you remember these things because she's under canvas.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a question then when the whole battalion got issued with Wellingtons. And nobody slept on the bottom bunk. Everybody slept on the bottom, on the top, because there was so much about it. I mean, once you got sat on the edge of the bed, you had to put your Wellingtons on because the water was coming underneath of the canvas over the bottom. So that was a bit of a relief to go somewhere else after then. But we did go out occasionally to these airfields, you know, and guarding these airfields. There was quite a lot of activity in the Anglia region.
Would they have been American airfields?
Yeah, there was American and British, like, you know.
Can you remember any in particular that you went to?
Well, there was Swanton Morley, Wotton, you know, which are in the North Norfolk area, like, you know. Yeah. We went to one in the... and in the Northamptonshire area, like, you know, there was... well, there was airfields dotted about all over the place in Anglia.
Do you remember seeing any of the aircraft there? You must have seen them taking off and coming back.
Oh, there's various ones, you know. Yeah, you know, fighter aircraft and whatever have you, you know.
Were there any bombers, any...
There was a few bombers, like, you know. Yeah, but I mean... going back, say, 1941 time, 42, early 42, there was nothing like, there wasn't much in the fortress line or things like that. There wasn't much about it apart from Blenheims and Wellingtons and things, you know. That was only later, when, you know.
Yeah, because that's the sort of early part, really, isn't it, after Dunkirk, when I suppose the country is very much on the back foot.
That's
stage,
right,
isn't it?
Yeah, very much so that time. And later on, they asked for volunteers for various regiments, you know. That's how I came to leave the Norfolks that time.
Yeah, but after you left the Northamptonshire there, you went into another battalion of the Norfolks, did you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
No. No, I went direct from the 70th Battalion of Norfolks to the East Lancs.
And just tell us how that happened, Owen, and what the circumstances were that you went there.
Well, it came up on the notice board about they wanted volunteers for various county regiments, see. And one of them was East Lancs. There was the East Yorks. There was about a half a dozen. There was a Suffolk, Beds and Herts, Berkshires. So it's a question of taking your pick. That's what it was all about. And anyhow, I decided to... and this fellow who I joined up with, he decided to do the same.
Well, independently of you?
We weren't in the same company when we was with the Norfolks, but we came into contact.
Right.
And he decided, because I was going in the East Lancs, he was going in the East Lancs. Couldn't make up his own mind. I was only a boy.
But why? Yeah, but okay, you're only a boy, but because of your stature and the way you are,
right, yeah.
You're quite a big, and you're still a powerful-looking man now. So then you must have been somebody who could sort of look up to you in that way, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. And then, there was a half a dozen of us finally decided to go in East Lancs. But I can't remember what... there was another county regiment, but I couldn't remember what that one was like. You know.
I just wonder why you decided on the East Lancs at that stage.
Yeah, well, that's another story, because on my... first day at the East Lancs, we arrived in the afternoon and they was at Moulton in Yorkshire, right? And on the following day, this was late afternoon, got poked in B Company, like all of us.
Can you just tell us which year this was, or what time of year?
42. That was 42.
Which part of the 42? Early winter time?
I should imagine it was early 42. We went to Moulton.
Okay.
Went to Moulton. But the next day, of course, we had to report to the second in command down his office, who was going to welcome us to the regiment. But as we got up there, of course, it was in like a corridor, like where it was a question of knocking on the door, and next one, please, you know, this business. But prior to that, I wasn't the first one in, I was about the third or fourth one. Prior to that, I'd seen it on the... they got notices up on the wall. Volunteers wanted paratroops and glider troops. 2 shillings a day extra for glider troops. A shilling a day extra for two bob a day for paratroops, shouldn't a day for flying troops. So I thought, I don't know whether it was the money part what gave me a shove, like, you know. But when they called me in, there was a company sergeant major called me in, went in, saluted, and he sat there like, welcomed me to the regiment. And before he could get anywhere else, I asked for a transfer. And he nearly exploded, Bob. He nearly exploded.
Do you remember what his name was, this sergeant major?
I can't remember the sergeant major. Mm. And I can't remember what the second in command's name was. Right. Nearly exploded. Dressed me down like, you know, told me I hadn't given the regiment a chance. All this. So he said, you better go. Saluted, about turn and went. And I thought, right, I don't reckon that transfer's going any further than his desk. You know, you do, don't you? So I thought. Anyhow, after a while at Moulton, nothing happened. And we moved down to, the battalion moved down to Mere in Wiltshire. And we get down there, but B Company went through another little village outside, Kingston Devil. And while he's there, there was an orderly sergeant, he came after me one day, he said, you'll want to see that company officer, he said, has something to do with paratroops. So I said, is it? So he said, yeah. So anyhow, company mark and second in command told me but that when I went in there, like, you know, that I'd got to go for a medical and all this business and a test. And yeah, there was about a half a dozen going from the battalion, but I didn't know that. And I think we went to Warminster and we had various tests and that. And but after then, that must have been about a couple of 3 months, I never heard nothing, see, so I just took it that, you know, well, I'm going to be accepted. But eventually I did go. But unfortunately, I was on leave at the time when I got me notice to go back, and I'd only been home 3 days, and I'd come home on 10 days' leave. So I got called and reported to Hardwick Hall in Derbyshire. I went there and done me training, you know, like you do when you join them. Everything at the double from about 6 o'clock in the morning, whatever. Spent about 6 weeks there doing assault calls and whatever, swinging down ropes and. And then eventually went to Ringway, what is now Manchester Airport. So.
This was paratroops, you say?
Yeah.
Because they'd given you, they'd not transferred you from the East Lanes at that stage.
No.
But you'd gone on this training course.
I'd gone on this training course, yeah. And got to Ringway, and then you got the training. It had an old Whitley fuselage there, jumping out of fuselage and all this business. And training on balloon, like, you know, looking at the balloon and standing around the basket and all this business. And then eventually you start, you know, your jumps. But after I'd done my eighth, I had a problem with one foot. After I'd done my seventh jump, I had a problem with one of my ankles.
Can I just ask you about the jumps? Because is that jumping from aircraft? Or
first one's from a balloon, and they were done at Tatton Park, which is outside of Manchester and on the borders of Cheshire, like, you know, Tatton Park. You done your balloon jumps there, and then
how high is the balloon though, when you jump from that?
800 feet. And there'd be half a dozen of you in the basket with an instructor. There used to be a basket with an aperture in the floor and a rail T-shaped either side with a bar across the top. And you was hooked up on the bar, see. And then the balloon would be on a winch, you know, on like a 1500 weight truck. And the instructor or sergeant would say to the winch driver, he'd say up 800 or up 1000, six dropping. And the first one and the second one goes and all this business. Of course, you've never done this type of thing before, and first one, you've got your trust in the Lord, like, you know, eyes shut.
What did you think that first time? I'm jumping through the way you've described that, you're in a basket with a hole in the floor.
And because you jump, say, 800 feet, and for about the first forward, second seat, you're just bowling until you shoot, actually, because that's on a static line. Until that chute opens and fills with air, you're just falling, see. So for about 400 feet, you're just falling. The last 400 feet, you've got your chute open, see.
And on a static line, does that mean it opens automatically?
Yeah, pulls out the envelope off the back of your pack. So there was four jumps like that, like.
And suppose that's a good feeling when it actually opens, isn't it?
That was, yeah, feel like 10 men.
Especially the first time.
Yeah, but for the last part, the last port, for about 30 seconds, see, you might be coming down backwards, sideways, whatever, or you might be running into something. So it's a question of making a quick decision, you know, turning into the right direction and whatever, because you're coming down pretty fast.
And you did seven of those?
I done four from a balloon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I done three from the aircraft, from the Whitley. Yeah.
And what about the first one of those from the aircraft?
Well, that's a different sensation, because some of you're still around the aperture in the floor. And it's 8 feet across the aperture in the floor. And it's got the same type of thing. They've got standpipe points around the aperture where you were hooked on, like, you know.